Father, help us, help me especially right now to keep my mind clear and open and let you work through me. You know how much I need you and everybody else. Amen. So as Jody was talking, it just really came clear this morning. There is a need sometimes to see the panoramic view, to see the bigger picture of what's really going on. So what I'm going to try to do is kind of paint that picture first and then bring it back down to the player and what he's seeing right at his feet, which is you and what's at your feet. So this week I taught Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights for an hour and a half every night, teaching 100 Burmese students. They're from, they have been dispersed all around the world. So there were some in Vietnam, Norway, all through the Asian countries, et cetera. So it's been a privilege. It's a challenging thing to be on Zoom and just to start talking and trying to share some, you know, and work through an interpreter and then trying to, you know, at the same time kind of looking at some of the faces, trying to pick up, you know, a little feedback, whatever else. So, and then they gave me the topic again of marriage and Christian family, which, you know, it's like, why? Oh, don't do that to me. And at the same time, because I don't mean that any other way other than I just put it this way. They know this. They know I'm going to teach what the Spirit of God gives me, and then I'll just tie it together. So what I did was I'm going to go a real summary of those 6 hours, you know, and share with you some of what I shared with them and give you a picture of what we're doing and why we're doing it. But also, when I do these meetings a lot of times, it's amazing how my perspective really opens up. Because trying to get it across to somebody else in another country, in another culture, in another language, in a whole other type of situation of the gospel, it means you have to take your head up and look at the whole field and not just your little life. Most of those people are in other countries now because their life is threatened. These are young people. Most of them are young people that in Burma, you know, the government took over. They had a coup, and so they said if you're 18 to 35, they could just grab you at any time off the street and put you on the front line, and you're pretty much just fodder. So that's why there's been this mass exodus out of Burma, Myanmar, to other countries. So when they go there, then they start, you know, and think about that. Think about, you know, we get all concerned about our little life here and our bills and our thing. But can you, I'll tell you, to be just booted out of your country, and so to speak, and running for your life, trying to learn a whole new language, learning a whole new, you know, culture, and how terrifying. And plus your perspective is just survival. And so when we talk about God being faithful, we sometimes think about, okay, well, yeah, but my dog died and he didn't heal him. I'm not making fun of that. It's a pretty dramatic thing for us. But then if you lift up your head and go, whoa, there's a little bit more than that going on all over the world, isn't there? Maybe I need to kind of look around once in a while. Yeah. So that's kind of what we're going to try to do today. So let me try to share a taste of what I shared in 6 hours. So again, we're watching the soccer game, and since Jody brought it up, I'm going to bring it up. But playing soccer is like life. And one of the things that you see when you're observing them is they don't realize how important their part is. And especially the kids growing up, sometimes they don't even know which direction they're going, you know, or what the goal is, but then there's others. But then sometimes you just see them out there and they're actually watching the game more than they're participating. And then there's times that, you know, they just don't realize that their part is important. You get your star players, and everybody kind of focuses on them. They make the plays, they make the goals, or whatever else. And so you can kind of see some of the kids are out there and just, you know, they're okay with the fact, or maybe they're not okay with it, but they realize, I'm not the star player, I'm not, you know. And sometimes you can just kind of see an attitude of, you know, I'll kick it if it comes to me, but I'm not going to, you know, type thing. One of my messages to everybody when I go anywhere and everywhere is what the Lord told me. He says, tell everybody their part is critical. And I tell you what, it really takes faith to believe that. It takes a whole different vision to believe that, because frankly, When the Lord first told me that, I go, okay, I understand that, I believe that. But as the years have gone by and I keep saying it, all of a sudden I realize, you know, I really didn't believe it. I really thought some players were just there to warm the bench. And there are some people, I don't know, it just doesn't seem, you know. And then to look at your own life and say, how important is it if I actually succeed or not? How important is it? You know, it's it'll be all right. And again, it will be. God is faithful. At the same time, it's like when we get a picture of what's really going on, from the Lord's point of view, we can start realizing, wait a minute, my life is may look boring to people, may not look like I'm doing much, but I'm going to trust in the Lord that He has told me that my part is critical, and I just need to trust Him. You know, that's part of what a good player in anything, a business, whatever, is when the coach says, you know, get out there and this is what you need to do and do your best. You got to just say, oh, I really believe that. That I believe my coach that my part is important. And that's what I want to kind of share with you today. So, so part of it is, you know, a player that just looks at his life is not critical. Others will cover. The important parts are covered by other players versus the fact of somebody saying, this is my team. I must step up with passion to fulfill my part for us to destroy the works of evil and set people free. 1 John 3:8 says this, for the one who practices sin is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we have Jesus here. We're going to look at a bigger picture here. We had Jesus coming with the purpose of destroying the works of the devil and setting us free and putting us back in the relationship that he had planned for us. 1 John 3:8. That's where that came from. Okay. And then I want to go now to Luke 4:43. So I'm teaching on marriage and I'm teaching on family, but really what I taught on was the kingdom of God. And they just wrapped it around how it applies to marriage. And so I want to read you a lot of scriptures here. Just bear with me, but try to keep your mind open and just see a bigger picture. So Luke 4:40-43. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. So now we looked at two purposes now. We got the purpose that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. But he said, I must go to these other places and preach the kingdom of God, for I was sent for this purpose. Matthew 21:43 says this, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, will be taken away from you and it will be given to another people. Hallelujah. What? Producing the fruit of it. So the kingdom of God has gone to another people, which is us. Well, for what purpose? The kingdom of God bears fruit, brings forth change. Matthew 10:15 says, as truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. Now we're starting to catch a vision that, hey, you can enter this kingdom. But there's requirements on how you enter that kingdom. Luke 7:28 says this, I say to you, among those born of a woman, there's no one greater than John. He's talking about John the Baptist. Yet he who is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, if you stop and just think about that a little bit, man, what a profound statement. Here you got Moses, you got Elijah, Elisha, you got the prophets, you got some really heroes of the faith, we might say, back in the Old Testament. And Jesus is saying this. He said, of all those people, nobody's greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't do any great miracles. He didn't raise the dead. He didn't part the waters. He didn't do any of that. And so the greatness must be in his position of what God asked him to do, which was prepare the way for the Lord to come. However you want to view that, I want to just say, what a profound statement to say that he was the greatest of all in God's opinion. And now he's saying, the least The baby of a family in the kingdom of God is greater than him. Do we comprehend that? Do we understand that if you've been born again and entered the kingdom of God, you may have just got started, but in God's viewpoint, you have a greater message, you have a greater purpose, you have a greater calling, you have a greater impact than John the Baptist. Think about that for a little bit about you. Okay? And your part in this big play. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. He didn't come preaching church. He didn't come preaching salvation. He didn't come preaching prosperity. He didn't even come preaching about how to have a good life. He didn't come preaching about, stop being bad and be good. He came preaching the kingdom of God. And yet most people, I think, if you ask them, you say, well, what is the kingdom of God? Most people have a hard time putting it in a paragraph. Really picturing it. I know I've been looking at this for 40 years, and it's just, man, I just still feel like it is a kindergartner looking at this thing. But again, just like a soccer player or anybody else in life, you grow a little bit at a time, and all of a sudden it starts coming together. It starts picturing. So we're looking at this bigger view right now of what the whole purpose of God was. And when Jesus came, he came preaching the kingdom of God, and he said, I was sent for this purpose. Let's go to John now. Let's see. Where was I? Luke 9:2. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Now, this is when he sent the disciples out. He says, go out. And again, he sent them out to say, go preach, go proclaim. That word proclaim or preach doesn't always mean somebody up standing up front. It means if you publish it, if you write it out, if you just declare it, if you just talk about it. So you and I, all of us, you don't... It's not just talking about somebody up here preaching. It's talking about you, how you proclaim the kingdom of God by the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you greet people, the way you do everything. We are to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God. So this is also to fulfill the bigger purpose. You know, we all have our purpose here on life, of raising our families or whatever God's called us. But we're on a team, and we're on a project that is way bigger than that. And what is that? That is God's kingdom here on earth. That's the game. You know, and just like sometimes when you see little kids out there and they're just pulling up the grass, they don't even know what the game is about. Man, there's a lot of people who have no idea why they exist, why they're even alive, other than, you know. So let's go now, Luke 17:21. Nor will they say, look, here it is. There it is, for the kingdom of God is in your midst. So, again, here's a little bit of a clue. We've talked about this a lot, but it's like, oh, it's over there. It's happening over there. No, where is the kingdom of God? It's right here in you. This is where it's at. Think about the scripture just when Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. First thing out, thy kingdom come. To earth as it is in heaven. You know what most people's vision of being saved is all about? Going to heaven. They get saved to go to heaven. But Jesus said, no. This is not about you going to heaven, primarily. That's part of it. But the bigger picture is you bringing the kingdom to earth. That's the purpose. That's why you're here. That's part of your existence. John 3 says this, Jesus answered and said to him, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered and said, truly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. To me, as he's saying, unless born of water, being born of a woman, being into this earth, and then the second part is to be born of the Spirit. And he goes on, as you know that, when you're born again, you're born from above. It means you're becoming a whole new species, and now you're in the spiritual realm. And he said, you can't even see the kingdom of God until that happens. So in other words, there's masses of people all through the earth that have no idea what the kingdom is. They've never seen it. And there are some people who are born again have never seen the kingdom either. They have the ability now to see it, but they don't see it. I guarantee you, most of the people, if you talk to them that are born again, you start asking about the kingdom of God, they're going to look at you like, what are you really talking about? I think there's so many people, at least I talk to, that are so unaware that Jesus came preaching the kingdom. So I'm trying to get this across to people, you know, through the interpreter and everything else, and then I'm tying it back around to about marriage and family. Isn't that interesting? All right. You can see I'm skidding through some notes. So we're going to go to John 16 now. In John 16 and 7, and I'm going to read that, and then 12 through 15, it says, and Jesus is speaking again. He says, but I tell you the truth, that is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Boy, that had to be a little rough. You know, when you got somebody close to you, that you know, and they're gone, it's rough. It's really rough. And Jesus said, listen, it's to your advantage. So we have a greater advantage right now than the disciples did, as far as when Jesus was here on the earth. That's something to actually comprehend and believe. When I went to Israel, people were all saying, oh, I just want to walk where Jesus walked. I just want to see what he saw. You know, and I go, I walk with him every day. Why do I care if I walked on something 2,000 years ago that he walked on? And I tell you, most people don't have any real vision or comprehension that they walk with God. I got to get off that. And verse 12, I have many more things to say to you. Jesus is with them for 3 years, teaching night and day. He's walking and talking. They hung together. They slept together. They ate together. And they walked on the road, and all the time he's talking. And he says, after 3 years, he said, I have many more things to tell you. As Jody was saying, we don't all see it. We all don't see it the same way. And that's okay. I'm not here to get you convinced to see everything my way. That's not the goal here. It's just on our adventure together, we help each other try to just like a team, we start helping each other see the bigger picture. But each of us have our area that we need to cover. And so this idea of, you know, last week I talked about being tagged. And for some people, they just say, well, I'm a this, I'm a that. You know, by the way, if you said I'm a member of Believers Fellowship, you just lied. If I gave you a piece of paper to sign today, if you want to be a member, would you sign it? Don't raise your hand. Don't give yourself away. The truth of the matter is, I'm not a member of Believers Fellowship. We have no membership. You can't be a member of Believers Fellowship. As far as legally. When I set it up, I had to set it up with the IRS. Are you going to have members in it? And I had to make a decision. Young, stupid, I had no clue. Said, well, where do we do this? And then he said, well, by the way, if you have members, then you got to make qualifications of what you got to do to be in. And then you got to, how are you going to discipline them if they don't make those measures? And I go, we're not going there. I just said, we're not going to have members. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say, though, is a lot of people just, they think they're just a Methodist, a Catholic, whatever else. And what it does is it put a tag on you, and all of a sudden you're just adhering to somebody, a man system, a bunch of rules, and think you're playing the game. You think you're in the game. And you're off in a little corner with a few group of people thinking that the whole game is over there in the corner, and the rest of the field is empty. No idea that is not the game. Jesus didn't come preaching to church. He didn't come preaching to get everybody in little groups and start controlling everything. He preached the kingdom of God. And where is the kingdom? It's in the hearts of every believer. And there, we'll go ahead a little farther here. He goes, for I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not only speak of it on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose or reveal to you what is to come. He will disclose to you what is to come. He, the Holy Spirit, is telling us things that Jesus didn't have enough time to. And he's showing us things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it or give it to you. All things that the Father are mine, therefore I say to you that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Boy, get a hold of that. Jesus said, everything's been given to me, and it's better that I go now, because then I'll send my Spirit, and what he has given to me, he will disclose or reveal and give to you. Everything in the kingdom is ours. Now, how can you say my part's not very important? Look at what the coach did. He placed you in a position to have access to everything the Father gave Jesus, which is everything. You know, most people don't think they have much of a impact on life. It's, well, whatever happens, happens. We just got to endure it. This is not what this is indicating. John 14 says this, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper. Now that word helper is paracleto. We talked about it last week. It's one that comes alongside to help you. That's important that you understand that it's, he comes alongside of you to help you. To help you do what? Fulfill the purpose of the bigger game, which is bringing the kingdom of God to the earth and destroying the works of the devil. You have the same purpose of Jesus, to proclaim this kingdom and to destroy the works of the devil. Well, that makes sense because his kingdom, devil's kingdom, is a kingdom of darkness, destruction, gloom, doom. God's kingdom is a kingdom of light, love, power. Folks, we're in the game. Whether you like it or not, you're in the game, and your part is critical. And that's what I'm trying to get across to these 100 students. Okay, we'll go on. Where was I? Somebody help me. I'll give you a helper to be with you. That is the spirit of truth that the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides in you and will be in you. He's, again, he's with you, beside you, but he's also inside you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and in a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Big point there. We'll go on. So this is the kingdom of love. This is what we're, what's what, I'm trying to get across to these people, and then I'm trying to figure out my notes here, but Acts 19, 8 through 10 says this, and this is about Paul. It said, he entered the synagogue, continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. So Paul is here, you know, and for 3 months, he's day and night, he's trying to persuade people about the kingdom of God. I'm trying to paint a picture here that for the majority of a lot of people anyway, they don't see this. They don't talk about the kingdom of God. They don't know what the kingdom of God is. They don't know how to proclaim the kingdom of God. They don't know how to explain the kingdom of God. Many believers have not even seen yet the kingdom of God, let alone enter it. There's an entering that comes to it. It's not just seeing, it's entering. It's almost like seeing the game but not entering it. Being on the sidelines. A lot of people see themselves on the sidelines. They don't see the fact that they're in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God is in them. But Paul was teaching for 3 months. It goes on, but there are some who become hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people. He withdrew them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus that this took place for 2 years until all of Asia saw the word. And it goes on later on, it says that he was actually there for 3 years. 3 years, Paul's passionately teaching on the kingdom of God. I had 6 hours. How much can you cover? And this is the bigger part with brought out already, as Jody said, you know. Hey, we know in part, we got some of it, but boy, there's a whole lot we don't know. And yet most people aren't even hungry to find out. They go to church day after day, week after week, and hear about the same messages, hear about the, you know, same thing, and, you know, and live out their lives, and they got their ticket to heaven, and thank God for that. I'm still all in, man. If you're a believer, you know, the guys going to heaven are the ones who believe, but it's almost like but stayed babies all their life, never found out what the game was about, never found out their position, never took it seriously what they had to do. It's like, oh, yeah, no, they think it's humility to say, no, no, I can't talk, I can't, you know, I'll leave that for the preachers, I'll give offerings, I'll, you know, but I, you know, boy, no. Man, once you see this, it's like, no, this is, the kingdom is inside of you. And we are to proclaim it by everything we say and everything we do. It is not about you getting your way in life. And I'm trying to get this across to 100 people that are terrified in a new country. And a lot of them concerned about spouse and family. Hallelujah. By the way, I didn't highlight, I don't think, but the scripture that, at least, or I missed it, but the scripture then that really put it together was, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And when Jesus said, seek ye first, that word seek means first in priority, and really means seek first and only the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. I said, you want a spouse? Seek first the kingdom. You want a good marriage? Seek first the kingdom of God. You want a good family? Seek first the kingdom of God, and only. And all that will be added to you. You want to be prosperous? Seek first the kingdom. You want to be healed? Seek first the kingdom. You want to be joyful? You want to have a good, fulfilling life? Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you because it's all in there. But have you ever told your kid? I mean, we use this every time, but it's so funny anyway. Hey, Johnny, go find your socks. Okay. Walk in the bedroom, walk out. Couldn't find them. You walk in, and they're right on the end of the bed. And you go, you didn't seek at all, did you? You didn't open one drawer? You didn't dig through anything? My wife accuses me of this all the time. I said, where is something? The reason I ask is he puts it in different places. And so I find that if you just tell me, then I don't have to seek through every cupboard. Okay? But so there's, we all got our reasons, don't we? But he just said, seek the kingdom. And you know, the most part, listen, I'm not trying to be critical, but just to face reality. There's a reason sometimes teams fail. The players out there aren't playing with passion, thinking that the game really is for them to do their part. Leave it to somebody else. I don't care. And they don't care until they're whooped and, you know, come off crying and they go, you didn't, hey, did, and the coach can say, did you do the things I told you? Did you, have you been building up your stamina? Have you been, well, yeah, but I just wanted to win. There's a way, and it is seek the kingdom first and all these things will be added unto you. Isaiah 9. Here's a Christmas verse for you. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given. Don't you love Christmas? All the nice cards, all the, you know, all the good feeling songs and all that. And it's like, oh, Jesus, he was a baby. He was born to us in a manger. And we made big productions to put out mangers to everybody and you know, sing all these sweet little songs. And I'm making fun of it. Yes, I am. And the government, say government. The ruling power will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. You know what I find? I find so many people, even successful in their business, do not feel satisfied. even having a wonderful wife and a great family, do not feel satisfied. There are people that I constantly come across that they really just say, I don't understand what's going on. Is this all there is? I chased it down, I found it, and now I'm unsatisfied. There's something inside each one of us. It's called the light of God drawing us into His kingdom of light. And nothing is going to satisfy anybody that you meet for any length of time. Oh, there might be some great moments in their life, but there, you need to understand everybody on the earth is being drawn to this kingdom by the Spirit of God. They're hungry and they're thirsty, and they may not know what they're looking for, and they may not think that what you're sharing is, but there's something that's going to draw their heart. Everybody feels there's something I feel inside that my life is important, and that I'm not here just to exist for 80 years and then depart. There will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace. That scripture is going to be read at Christmas time again, and most people will never see anything in it other than, oh, He came as a baby. Oh, mighty God, Prince of Peace, and all that. They don't see the purpose at all. There'll be no increase to His rulership, His government. Kingdom means king. Seek the king. Dumb. The area where He's king. Where can He be king? He can be king over your heart. He's not king over the earth yet. That's not done yet. The kingdom is in your heart. It's where He's king. That's where His government reigns. And there will be no end to the increase. People say, I've been reading the Bible and the end times is coming. Well, the end times is coming. You know, we're going to have Armageddon. Everything is going to pot. It's in the Bible. No, it's not. That's not in. I'm telling you, He said, no, the kingdom will come and there will be no stopping it. And it will never stop increasing. And the Father said to Jesus, you sit down right here at my right hand. And that He's telling him, that's your position. It's almost like, Jesus, sit there until I tell you to get up. And Jesus said, and the Father says, sit right there until. I think we all know what until means, don't we? You sit there until you eat your Cheerios. You know, we know. Sit there until your enemies are underneath your feet. We are not headed to the end times where we have a big old battle and then finally God comes and saves us. He is sitting there until we win the battle. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Who's the players? Well, it isn't Jesus. He's still sitting. Where's His government then? On our shoulders. Amen. To establish it, to hold it up with justice and righteousness from then on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And where is the zeal working through? Us. How's this all getting done? Us. Now, that's what I was trying to get across to them. They're not a bunch of victims being sent all over the world hoping that they can just survive. They have the kingdom of God inside them, and they have everything that the kingdom has, and they have the authority of the name of Jesus. They have the Spirit of God, they have the mind of Christ, and they are to conquer where they're at. And if they don't do it, it won't get done. And then I said, listen, you're not there to start a church. You're not there to get, you know, listen. What we do here is not the same as others, and what they do is not the same as us. And so this is why people have to kind of come and find out, where are you guys going? Do I fit with you? And we're not here to build a church. We're not here to build a ministry. We're not here just to look good. We got a building because we are here, but we are building the kingdom of God. And where is that kingdom? It's in the hearts of everybody in the whole world, not just here. Jesus said this, I didn't quote the scripture, but he just said, who is my, they said, your family's outside. He said, who is my family? And he said, those who believe in God, those who are disciples, they're my brothers and sisters. Now, as much as we put, again, there's a scripture Jesus said, unless you cannot be my disciple if you don't hate your wife and hate your kids and hate your whole family compared to me. The word there, hate, means love less. And when he said, seek first the kingdom of God, man, listen, if your family is king, you're in a different kingdom. And you'll be subject to the rules of that kingdom and suffer harm. You want to, I told him, listen, you want a great marriage, you want a great family, then you love your king way more than your spouse. Way more than your spouse. And what will happen if you do that? What will happen if you do that? Well, that's the greatest opportunity you got to have one of the most phenomenal marriages in the world. You seek just the marriage, you seek just the family. You can maybe have a good one, but listen, compared to what you'd have if you sought the king first and then let him, the question is now, what are you going to believe? Now I want to get to the good part, okay? I can't cover all the rest. We're called into fellowship with God. Fellowship, the word is koinonia. It's an intimate partnership. It's sometimes related for intercourse. It's a partnership. It's a tying together. It's a oneness. And we've been called in fellowship. In Genesis 1:26, it said, let us make man in our image. I think that's what it says. And then Genesis 1:28 said, once they made man, he said, now listen, you take dominion and you start ruling things. You get this world under control. The word there is indicating that the whole world was out of control and that Adam needed to get it put in subjection. From the beginning till now, his plan hasn't changed. We're to take dominion, not of each other. That's usually what we do. By building church, sometimes building ministries, etc., we actually get people who are trying to have dominion over other people. You listen to me and you do it my way. Isn't that not what sometimes it's said? And so people line up and submit, feel good, they feel secure because I'm a member of that particular little group. That's my leader. And it's like, seek ye first the king only, not a man, not an organization, not a group of people. And listen, a lot of people don't want to hear this. This is not going to be like if people hear me, they're going to come in here by the droves. No, we'll stick what we got. Feel safer. You scare me, John. I've had people just tell me that. You scare me. Because I'm going to tell them, listen, it's your life and you got to figure it out. But here's a beautiful part for us. The Bible says you can pray with your mind, you can pray with your spirit. So we get both those options and they work. Okay? Jesus went off by himself through the nights after teaching all day. He'd get time alone and he'd go pray. What do you think he prayed? What's Jesus praying to the Father? Oh, God, I've got a real problem with John right now. He's just really bugging me. Lord, can you help me get along better with my disciples? They're a bunch of knotheads. I don't know. What was he praying? And then Bible says you can pray with your mind. So anything that you know that the will of God is, you can pray those things. You read the Bible, you find out it's his will that everybody gets saved. You can pray that. Lord, I'm praying everybody gets saved. Lord, you know, he healed them all. You can pray. Lord, heal that person. I know it's your will. It's already written down. I already know your plan. But there's a whole lot that he couldn't tell us, and there's a whole lot of things that yet to come. And with that, we don't have that written down. We got that. You got to get from him. Well, do I have to get it? Well, listen, if you don't, you're not playing your position. Ball's going to come by and it's going to go, woo, that was fast. So we see the bigger picture, then we look down and say, my feet, my ball, the ball right there, what do I do? And the Bible says you can pray in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, that's when you get the Spirit of God, the kingdom is inside you. You can pray in a language you didn't learn. This used to freak people out, you know, and some people just freak people out on purpose with it, sadly, because they didn't have enough knowledge of what was going on, so they thought it was some like little sign that says, I'm really something. And you are really something. But anyway, you can pray in a tongue that you didn't learn. And my, you know, and when I talked to my grandfather, when I told him I was speaking in tongues when he was like 100 years old, and he said, do you know what you're saying? I said, nope. And it was almost like, well, then why do it? He wasn't critical. He just said, you know, I didn't get to really share all of it with him. But the Bible says when you pray in an unknown tongue, your mind's not your mind is resting. You don't know it. But here, what people don't understand is there's two kingdoms, in the kingdom of light and the kingdom of the Spirit of God. You can be born of the flesh, but then you're going to be born of the Spirit. That's a whole new kingdom. And it's almost like they're trying to think that you just got a little, you got a ticket to go to heaven. They don't realize you're a whole creation that's never been on the face of the earth before, blameless and spotless and no sin, no guilt, no shame, with a perfect connection with God. And you have your own language with Him because it's a whole new kingdom and your little mind can't keep up with it. We not knowing that, but here's what happened. When you pray with your mind the will of God, and when you pray in the Spirit with your mind, I got to close here. Let me paint this picture. Everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say inner circle. In a company, there's an inner circle. Those who get together make the decisions. In a family, there's an inner circle. In churches, there's inner circles. In every kind of organization, there's an inner circle. And it may not be who has the titles. It may be, but there's always a small, amen. There's always somebody that's got the power and got the decision making, right? Let us make man in our image. There was an inner circle of three in the Godhead sitting in the royal courtyard of decision making, if you will. Yeah, and they were there and they were discussing, and God says, hey guys, let's have a powwow here in the inner circle. Let's make man in our image. What do you think? And the Holy Spirit said, oh, far out. Jesus said, I'm in. Bam, we came in the picture. Where are we at today? You ever been in, how many remember high school? I mean, it's really foggy. Got to be foggy for some of you. It's been so long. Remember the inner circles? Little groups? Remember when you wanted to be in the inner circle? And you weren't? And you tried to get in? Most people are viewing their life that the most of their life is being outside trying to figure out how to get into the inner circle. And so they join groups and they become, forgive me. No, don't forgive me. Curse me. Doesn't matter. Some people brag, I was a deacon in that church. I was this, I was that. Oh, so you finally got to the inner circle, huh? Yeah, they wear like a badge. And then I'll pick up my own group. I pastored once. Yeah, I was the man. You know, I go. You need to humble yourself and realize you ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. You do not have anything except what you got in Christ. And what you got in Christ is everything. You're in the inner circle. You know what happens when you pray with the knowledge of the Word and pray in the Spirit of God? When you don't know the knowledge, you're in that inner circle and you're discussing things. You know what's being discussed? Strategies, purposes, things that need to change for us to bring the kingdom to the earth. You're sitting there with the Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit, and with Jesus. And by the way, all the rest of the saints that are in there. Can you, when you pray, maybe this will take you to cause you to just say, whoa, my prayer life is not just this little time I do in the morning before breakfast. My prayer life, I'm entering the royal inner circle to discuss how we fulfill the purpose of destroying the works of the devil and setting people free and building the kingdom up in other people's lives. What if you actually did that? If those 100 students, they're a little bit more focused than some of us because they're got too many pressures on them. So it's a little easier for them. It's a do or die deal. But what if they really, and I said, don't go out there and try to start a church. Don't try to start a ministry. Don't fall into that pit. Get in with the inner circle and find out what he's saying to you. And then you're part of that leadership. You're koinonia. You're a partner. He's at the right hand, but you're sitting with him in the right hand in the part of the authority. And if that doesn't blow your mind and your heart, then I guess I will try again next week. People say, well, we just need a better self-image. We just need to know, no, we need to seek the kingdom. We need to know who we are. And we need to get in that inner circle and find out and discuss. You know what the beautiful thing? It's not just him talking to us. He has placed things into us. God said this about Abraham. He said, I got to go talk to my friend about what I'm doing. Jesus said, I got to talk to the Spirit of God and Jesus about what I'm thinking. This is what's incomprehensible to me. He respects us and loves us so much that he actually says, come here and talk to me. What do you think? What do you think? Some people say, oh, you just got to surrender to Jesus, give it all to him. And okay, that's part of it. That got you into the kingdom. You died. He lives in that. But now that you're here, stop that stuff. He looks you straight in the eye and says, what do you think? What shall we do? Because I have placed the answer inside you. It's too good to be true, isn't it? Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your kingdom. I thank you for this opportunity that we have. We've only got a short time down here. We just got a few breaths and then we're going to be out of here. But Father, there is a desire in our hearts, a zeal, a passion inside of us that you placed there. Father, you placed inside of us a love for all mankind. Most of us haven't seen it, let alone feel it. But there are some of us who have entered in to this inner circle of the kingdom of God. And Father, I just declare what I believe in my heart, and I feel it in my heart, and I see it with my spiritual eyes, and I see the kingdom expanding and increasing in an incredible way all around the earth. And we're a part of that. Here am I, Coach. Send me. I'm ready. Amen. Amen. What if those 100 people didn't worry about who they were and all their positions, and I just told them, I said, go out in the highways and byways, go out in those streets and find some lonely person and start telling them about the kingdom of God and tell them they got purpose. You know, really think about that, especially when they pray and get the will of the mind of the Lord and all that go out. Think about how fast the kingdom would increase if they weren't trying to be somebody and start something. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that's what we're about. That's what we're doing here. Amen. God bless you.